the Yankees have to do this to win the World Series. Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch for Wednesday, October 23rd. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby. Follow me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. He's Troy Brock. Follow him on Twitter at Troy B Baseball. Similar naming conventions there because we think the same about baseball. This is your home for news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball, and it's World Series week. With First Pitch being on Friday night for Game 1, we're going to do something a little bit different this week. We're going to do, today, we are talking nothing but the Yankees, right? This is an entire Yankees show. Pitching, hitting, X factors, what they have to do to win the World Series. Same thing tomorrow, but for the Dodgers. And then Friday's show will be all three of us, Lindsey, Troy, and Christian, doing a roundtable, talking about the matchup, who we like, what's going to be the pivotal matchup of the series, and ultimately making our picks for who is going to win. So, Troy, let's get into this Yankees squad, because yes, Aaron Judge is in the World Series. Like, it's his first World Series, and this is a huge deal. But Aaron Judge hasn't actually been that good in the postseason. 31 at-bats. He has 5 hits. Now, 3 of them are for extra bases, a double and 2 home runs. He's driven in 6. He's been walked more times than he's gotten hits, right? He has 7 walks. He struck out 13 times. What does it feel like the issue is with Aaron Judge this postseason?
He could just be pressing. A lot of guys, and really a lot of the superstars across the league, you can look at Mookie and Ohtani and Freeman too. They're not doing great, but Aaron Judge, this is the farthest he's made it in the postseason. He's made it to the championship series a couple times before in his career, but this is the first time he's made it to the World Series and the first time that they actually had really a legitimate chance to make it to the World Series with the path that they had to go through to get here. And it's just, it's like he's pressing and it's just, it hasn't worked for him, but it is Aaron Judge. He can turn it on at any time. And we saw that earlier this year. He started off the season slow, and then about May, the middle of May, he turned it around, and now he's going to be the American League MVP. So,
yeah, I feel like this isn't, if he has a slump, like a relative slump like this, you know, two home runs, batting, I had the stats here and I moved the tab, batting 161 over the span of over a 9-game span. I don't really think we're paying a big deal, like paying a lot of attention to it, but it's October and all this stuff gets magnified. I do think there is something to the perspective of you face so many more relievers in the postseason than you do starting pitchers. So many more of your at-bats, a higher percentage of your at-bats come against relievers versus what you do in the regular season. It's you usually, him batting the top of the order, he's usually seen a starter 3 times, sometimes only twice. And then he's seen a reliever 1 to 2, maybe seeing a reliever 3 times if the starter goes out early and he ends up batting 5 times. But in the postseason, over half of his at-bats are coming against relievers. And I feel like that's also a big part of it, because all of your strengths and weaknesses kind of get magnified a bit. One, in the postseason, there's a velo bump already, right? Like data has shown that the average fastball from any pitcher, starter, reliever, whatever, is harder in the postseason than it is during the regular season. You're amped up. It's the postseason, right? But then two, relievers already pitching harder than average. They're already, you know, their breaking pitches move more than a starter's breaking pitch does. They're just filthier. The stuff in general is filthier. And I think it's probably a combination of what you said. He is pressing a bit, combined with the fact that there's just a lot of it's harder in the postseason. And sure. I think the good thing for this squad is they've gotten as far as they have. I'm not going to say without Aaron Judge, but without him playing a big role in carrying the load. If you sort and the sample sizes aren't great here, right? But if you sort by OPS for every player who's had an at-bat in the Yankees postseason rosters, like so far in the postseason, Aaron Judge's 704 OPS is eighth.
Wow. Now,
small sample size. Oswaldo Cabrera has six at-bats. Jose Trevino has two. If you take those guys out, you're still looking at it's the sixth highest OPS on his own team. You know, Giancarlo Stanton, Juan Soto, they've really carried the offense in the postseason. Gleyber Torres has had, I feel like, kind of a resurgent postseason here. He's batting almost 300, OPS in 832. But it's been the Stanton and Soto show, and Judge can probably get out of this, and he can probably do what you need to do. The question is going to be, how long does it take into this series? Does he do it in enough time to make an impact and help them take down the Dodgers? And that's the big question, I think.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. He just Juan Soto was a big addition for them this year because of Aaron Judge's struggles in the postseason. It's not really just that this postseason thing. It's he really hasn't been good throughout his career in the postseason. And so having Juan Soto in the lineup, whose number one ability is getting on base and being one of, if not the best hitter in baseball at getting on base, mm-hmm. having him in the lineup and then Giancarlo Stanton being healthy and doing Giancarlo Stanton things has been huge for the Yankees, to where even, like, as we've seen, even without Aaron Judge being Aaron Judge, they've still made it to the World Series and could bring home their 28th championship.
If the math in my head is right here, and I'm questioning that at the moment, 31, 34, 35, of the 38 RBI that have been that the Yankees have in the postseason, 19 of them are the combination of Stanton and Soto.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they've gotten it done without Judge because of Stanton and Soto. And then, you know, everybody else chipping in where they can. Anthony Rizzo coming back from, you know, with I think a broken finger, right?
Yep.
6-14 batting so far. He has one run. No RBI, but he has a run. Again, Glaber's driven in five. Judge has six RBI. It's not like he's not contributed to that.
Right.
But he also is second on the team in strikeouts in the postseason, just behind Austin Wells, who has been dreadful. We'll get the catchers in a minute. But this is something where I always talk about this, partly because it's just a little bit of a flex, but partly because it's true. John Smoltz told me when I interviewed him in January that to win the postseason, you need three hot starters, three hot relievers, and three hot hitters. And it feels like you can't keep Aaron Judge out of that third group for very long, right? It obviously hasn't happened in the first nine games, but it feels like it is entirely capable of happening. The question's just, how long does it take before he joins that group? And does he do it in game one? Does he do it in game two? When does he get going? It feels like it's inevitable. Just a question of, can they get it going? And if they can't, can they win without him?
Yeah, and the good thing that the Yankees do have going for them is the Dodgers pitching staff is really decimated.
Yeah.
So the pitching that they're facing isn't as good as it could have been should they be facing Tyler Glass now, or a 100% healthy Clayton Kershaw, or a 100% healthy Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And we still don't know if Walker Buehler can do what he did in his last start on a consistent basis. And one game is expected to be a bullpen game for the Dodgers. So the pitching that Aaron Judge will be facing is not as great as it could be. So maybe that could help get him back on pace. But as it stands right now, just with Juan Soto and Giancarlo Stanton, in my opinion, I think those two guys have done better this postseason than any two guys on the Dodgers so far.
Yeah. All right. You mentioned pitching. Let's do that, and then we'll come back to the X factors and things like that. And it feels like your rotation right now, the guys you've started in the postseason, you started nine games. Garrett Cole's done three. Carlos Rodon has done three. Clark Schmidt has two. Luis Gill has one. I feel like we're both pretty confident. I think they've already announced this. Garrett Cole's going to be your game one starter. But figuring out games two and three between Schmidt and Rodon is going to be really interesting to me. I like what Schmidt's done in the postseason. He's stranded 3/4 of all the runners who've reached base against him. His ground ball rate's been like 50%. And other than a couple like unlucky two out hits Cleveland had, he's been pretty good. But I've noticed he feels like he's been really good this year on the road. Game two is going to be in Los Angeles. Game one and two are in LA before it comes back to New York. And this season, 1.39 ERA on the road for Clark Schmidt. 2.11 batting average, slugging of like 2.80. It feels like the right way to do this is Cole in one, Schmidt in two, Rodon at home for game three. The thing that I don't know is, do the Yankees do that, or do they stick with the veteran Rodon in game two and then hold Clark Schmidt for game three?
Yeah, we have seen a situation like this already in this postseason with the Philadelphia Phillies. They started Christopher Sanchez in game two because of his home splits compared to his road splits, to make sure that he started at home and Aaron Nola on the road. And it worked out for the Phillies, and it was the one game that they won in that National League Division Series. But the Yankees with Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman, they've done a lot better in the postseason this year than they have in the past. But it's a lot of times they like to stick with that old school mentality of, this is our number two guy, he's going to start the number two game. I agree with you. I think Clark Schmidt should probably start the second game, but with the Yankees' track record, I do still think that they will start Carlos Rodon over Clark Schmidt. It would be surprising to me if they did not.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like they're going to kind of stick with their guns. And I'll say for Rodon, like, yes, he's allowed his ERA is 4.40. He's 1-1. He struck out 22 guys in his 14 and a third innings. Like, he leads his pitching staff in strikeouts. And I don't quite understand where it got significantly better in the postseason, how his strikeout rate shot up like that. You'll take it. And it feels like there's a pathway to having that work. Like, you can get through with that. And then you have Luis Gil potentially if you need him. Another guy that you're expected to have back on the roster. We just don't know what condition. Nestor Cortes. He has been out. He's not pitched since September 18th with a flexor strain in his left elbow. So right there, kind of in the forearm. And this is always a really, not scary, but nerve-wracking injury for a pitcher to have. Sometimes, not all the time, sometimes they can be precursors to Tommy John. They can lead to extended absences. Some guys can rest and rehab and come back. Some guys will have to have flexor tendon surgery to fix it. Some guys who try to pitch through it sometimes can risk further damage to the elbow. And so the quote that he gave, he threw a simulated game on Tuesday, right? 28 pitches. And afterwards, he kind of said, I'm looking for the exact quote here, but he said in essence that he would be willing, here he is. We have weighed the consequences that this can lead up to, but if I have a ring and then a year off of baseball, then so be it. Nestor Cortes is saying he's coming back despite the risk of re-injuring or furthering the injury, because he would be fine trading an elbow surgery for a World Series championship. Is this the right perspective to have, or is this a good idea, a bad idea, or we just have no way to know until we see how well he can pitch?
I think it could be a little bit of all three. The good idea being that, in my opinion, it's highly unlikely that they're going to re-sign Juan Soto. I think that Juan Soto is gone in free agency, and this is probably their best opportunity at winning a World Series, because the Dodgers are probably going to make it again next year. And without Juan Soto, they're back to just having Judge and Stanton, unless they bring in another big name free agent, but it's not going to be on the same level as Juan Soto. The bad thing is, of course, the risk of injury. And we saw with the Mets, we saw with Senga, they put him in their rotation in the postseason, and he really didn't pitch well at all in any of his starts. Yeah. And he only went two innings and just did not pitch well whenever he went out there. So, of course, he could re-injure himself or injure himself worse or just pitch really bad and pitch the Yankees out of a win. But I kind of like it because, like I said, I think this is the Yankees' best chance of winning a World Series because, in my opinion, Juan Soto's gone after this year.
Yeah, see, I think if the Yankees don't win, I think they do whatever they can to bring back Juan Soto because the fact that they got close with him, it's not entirely, but it's largely the same roster as you had last year. And the difference was you didn't make the postseason at all last year. And then this year you in the World Series with Juan Soto. I think it's them in New York or them in the Mets fighting back and forth to sign him. But I do think that there is something to the idea of, I mean, Cortes has already said he'd be restricted to throwing 20 or 30 pitches coming out of the bullpen. He's not going to be coming into phase three righties. Like, we know he's in there to get these lefties out. And when you look at the Yankees bullpen so far, the only lefties that you have in there that you used in the last series, and I really, if you count the guys who were inactive, it still is, you have Tim Hill and you have Tim Mayza. Those are the only two lefties that you have in the pen. Hill has been, like, both of them have been decent. Hill's pitched in 7 games so far, 1.59 ERA, 2 runs, 1 earned on 6 hits and 5 2/3 innings, but he doesn't get a lot of swing and miss. He's got 2 strikeouts in those 5 2/3 innings, right? Tim Mayza has barely been used. 1 1/3 innings in the postseason, allowed 2 hits, 2 walks, 1 strikeout. So having Cortes as a lefty in the pen, I feel like is a risk you probably need to take. And I think I agree with you that it's a calculated risk. It's one that can pay off. Him knowing and understanding the role. And I think we can't discount the fact he's been throwing. He's been doing simulated games and bullpens and things like that. The afternoon of game 5 of the ALCS, he threw then. He threw again, you know, on Tuesday. I think this is definitely something where it's, I'm not going to say a smart decision. We don't know if he's fully healthy, but obviously the fact that they think he's close enough, right?
Right.
I think this is a calculated risk that could pay off simply because you don't really have anybody else that you trust to go in there and face a pocket of lefties, right? If everybody's healthy, depending on how they set the lineup, you could have him come in. Ohtani's a lefty. Betts is a righty, but then Freeman, Muncy, Gavin Lux are all lefties. Tommy Edman's a switch hitter. And we saw the other day, we saw Edman was hitting cleanup. I would expect the Dodgers to try to mix Teoscar Hernandez in there to not have back-to-back lefties to make it harder to use Nestor Cortes. But you absolutely can see where that is a useful addition to this roster and this bullpen, because you don't really have a lot of other options to get lefties out. So calculated risk. I see why they're doing it. We have to, and this is something you and I have both talked about, we have to evaluate the decision based on what we know now, not on the results of it. I'm willing to say I think it's a good calculated risk to take to activate Nestor Cortes simply because you don't have any other options other than Tim Hill to get out a lefty. And even there, you don't really have swing and miss stuff from Tim Hill. So you need something here. Cortes can get a little bit of extra velo on that cutter, things like that out of the pen. It gives you a chance.
Yeah, no. I definitely agree with you. It is their best option. It's for him weighing if he's going to miss a year or not. And he already said he doesn't care if they win a ring if he misses a year. So,
yeah, worst case scenario is him to get hurt and miss a year and they don't win a ring. That's the worst case scenario, obviously. Right. Come back, get hurt, and they don't win. But either way, yeah, I think it's a calculated risk. I'm okay with it. We're going to get to our X factors in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at NCASE Cards, NCASECards.com. It's a brand new company that is revolutionizing the custom card industry. So what they do here is you provide source material of a design for a baseball style trading card, right? It can be one of your kids playing youth sports. That's what I used it for. It can be you, not youth sports, music, whatever you're doing. their artists use cutting edge technology and design techniques to make a collectible card that captures the essence of individuality and passion for life's most cherished moments like never before. They print this on high quality cardstock, put it in a slab, and ship it directly to you as a keepsake and a memento. It is honestly super cool. It's a brand new company. I want you to check them out. Encasecards.com. Again, NCASEcards.com. And thank you to Encase Cards for sponsoring First Pitch. All right. It feels like he might be the X factor on the pitching staff. Is can Nestor Cortes give you some more reinforcement against these Dodgers lefties? For position players, who do you have as the potential X factor in this series for the Yankees?
I mean, you could go the obvious route and say Aaron Judge getting turned on, but I'm gonna dig a little deeper. I think if Gleyber Torres really can do, if he can continue to be what he's been throughout this postseason, especially if Aaron Judge is not able to become Aaron Judge again, then that is going to be huge for the Yankees too. As you said earlier, to have those three hot hitters, even if one of them's not Aaron Judge, if Gleyber Torres can continue his hot streak, that's going to go a long way to helping the Yankees bring home yet another World Series championship.
I think that's a very good one. For me, I'm going to go with Jazz Chisholm Jr. He gave a giant lift to this team when he joined at the trade deadline, right? But this postseason, he has struggled. It's a continuation of how he has struggled in the postseason in his limited samples in his career. I've got the stats here. I'm trying to get the stats up here. This postseason so far, 9 games, 34 at-bats. He has 5 hits, 1 double, 1 home run. He's batting 147 with a 481 OPS. 2 walks to 11 strikeouts. He's 2-for-3 on stolen bases.
Hey,
he's just not getting on enough to steal bases. He's just not, he has the most attempts on this team. He's not getting on enough. And I feel like if Jazz Chisholm can get going, which is a tall task to ask for in his career, counting, you know, his time in Miami, he has batted 133 in the postseason.
Yeah.
I mean, he just has never really, he is 6-for-45 in the postseason. He's just really kind of never gotten going in the postseason. And even his home run came against Kansas City in that series. It didn't even come against Cleveland. But you can see the dynamic ability of Jazz Chisholm. He's a good base runner. He's got power. He's got speed. He's also, I think, the second ever player from the Bahamas to play in the World Series, if I saw that right. So that's a pretty cool little fun fact there. It feels like Jazz Chisholm can be an X factor if he can get going. And they've have him facing some live pitching, things like that this week, trying to knock hold, trying to get going. But I feel you have the potential to get something here if Jazz can get going. The question is just going to be, like, can he do it? And that's obviously an unknown until we get to Friday, but for some reason, I feel like he's going to meet the moment. Like he's not going to be a dominant. He's not going to bat 500 in the World Series, right? But I feel like for some reason, Jazz Chisholm is going to have a moment in the World Series where he's in a high leverage spot and he delivers. And I don't really know why I think that. I do.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. He's definitely a spark plug for the Yankees offense ever since he joined them at the trade deadline. And I don't know if they're still doing it this year or not, but he could win the country a free taco.
Oh, I think Taco Bell's still doing that. Taco Bell, you should sponsor this podcast, by the way. I think they're still doing that. But either way, it is absolutely just phenomenal to see, like, yeah, Jazz Chisholm can, like, get everybody in the country, or I guess technically not. John Birdie could do it too. Anthony
Kyle Schwarber did it.
Kyle Schwarber of all people did it. Yeah. Yeah. We can get, Jazz Chisholm can get us a free taco. Jazz, get us people. The people will love you if you get us free tacos.
Oh yeah.
I will also say, I mean, he is, like, on just sheer number of hits, he's tied with Aaron Judge on a number of hits in this postseason, right? They both have 5 hits in the postseason. It's just Judge has walked seven times to Jazz's two. And so Judge has scored six runs to Jazz's two. But
Jazz is looking at those stats like, stop the count. We ain't got to play no more.
He's like, me and Aaron Judge are practically the same. Practically the same in this postseason. I've struck out less than Aaron Judge has. Like,
there you go.
You know, so yeah, it feels like that. I do like your Glaber suggestion as well, simply because they've let him bat leadoff. And, you know, all he has to do is get on base. Because you've got Soto, you've got Judge, you've got Stanton behind him. I'm going to throw out one more. And it's, I feel weird. Oswaldo Cabrera.
Yeah.
Oswaldo Cabrera is a dude that has played everywhere on this team. And he hasn't done a lot in the postseason. He's 1-for-6 at the plate. But it just feels like defensively, he can come in and have a moment. And I don't know. I don't know why. I'm a believer he's going to be one of your primary pinch hitters in this series. And I have a prediction he's going to do something. I don't know what it is, but he's going to do something. At some point in time, he's going to go in there and he's going to do a thing. And hopefully it works out. We'll see what happens. But either way, excited about this World Series. Any final thoughts on this Yankees squad before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I did want to add this on Jazz Chisholm also. He does seem to play up when the lights are the brightest, and there is no brighter light than being in the World Series with the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Dodgers. This is the brightest of lights in at least this century. So yeah. So he definitely has a very good chance of turning things on at the plate.
That's a very good point. The dude loves the spotlight, and he's always good for a quote. Hopefully he'll be good for a moment too.
Yep.
This has been First Pitch for Wednesday, October 23rd. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode, but this one all on the Dodgers. What to expect from Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Jack Flaherty, all these other Dodgers, and how they match up with the Yankees. And again, reminder, on Friday, three of us will have a round table where we might go position by position, break down who has who's the favorite at each spot, talk about the rotation of the pitching matchups, and give our predictions. Until next time, this has been First Pitch.